Good morning, and welcome as we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, who has provided for us a way of life, not only here, but also in the hereafter. A couple of announcements. Following the service this morning, we will have a special congregational meeting called by our chair of the church regarding the wheelchair lift, as well as purchasing new banners for the wall. Tuesday is our day at the Salvation Army. If you are so inclined to serve the Lord in a way of serving our community, please see Wayne after the church for this special day. Just to note that Ash Wednesday is coming around very quickly. The first Wednesday in the month of March, and we'll be gathering here in the sanctuary for that special service. So make plans to be here and to be a part of our beginning a journey to the cross and through the empty tomb. Jesus, as well as St. Paul, reminds us that we are to be reconciled, first of all to the Lord, and then to one another, as well as to ourselves. And we'll be hearing a story of a wonderful gospel story found in the Old Testament. Much of the gospel we have is given to us in the Old Testament. May our ears and our hearts be open to hear what the Lord has to say for us today. Let us stand and to read responsively our call to worship. Remain standing for the opening prayer. God sets before us this day life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, that you and your descendants may live.
We will choose life.
Love the Lord your God and hold fast to God's holy ways.
We will follow in the ways of our ancestors who abided in faith.
Come, let us worship. And indeed, let us open our service by singing a wonderful gospel song, I Will Sing of My Redeemer. 223 in our hymnal. I will sing of my Redeemer, of his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story. Sing, oh sing, my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power to tell. How the victory is given over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. gorgeous me. On the cross, he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his traveling love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with him to be. Lord God, you are our song. You are the reason we sing. And we sing because you have given us a song in our hearts, a song of salvation, a song of your love and your joy, a song of your strength, a song that we can be singing even today as we hope for the song of the future in eternity. We pray that we may hear this tune today from your word. May we hear from you today and be open to receive all that you have for us, that we might all the more give you glory and honor. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let's hear the word of the Lord.
Our first lesson this morning is from Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither, and like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil, for evil men will be cut off. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more, though you look for them and they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. And our New Testament lesson is in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 27. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them, without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
Amen and amen. Prepare yourself as we ask the ushers to come forward to receive the morning tithes and gifts, as well as our monthly offering for the Congo Kids. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts you have given to us. And as we gift unto you, O Lord, we ask for your blessings to be upon both gift and giver. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and give praise to God.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You may be seated. We have a group of people, and part of this group is represented here by the Johnstons, who have made their way down to Mexico. And Gail would like to say a few words and give us an update. Did they make it?
They're there.
They're there.
Okay. They left on Friday. They left Lakeview Christian Academy between 8 and 9. The kids all got there, and they had a prayer time. And they have a blog, which I can find it if anybody's interested. But it was, I thought it was really neat. After they had their prayer time, the group of kids all walked through the school. And the kids were in school that morning. And they all applauded them as they were walking through the halls. Well, they got to about Finlayson, and one of the buses, there was something with one of the back tires. So they ended up putting all but five, it was senior boys. Five senior boys stayed behind with three adults and put everybody else on the other bus, and they headed south. Well, the bus that they got from a church, actually, it's a coach, but a church has it. And they brought it to the church, and the church gave them a Suburban and a trailer. So they unpacked the bus and put, my husband's telling me to hold the mic up. but they ended up putting everything in the bus, and then, or excuse me, from the bus into the trailer, and off they went. Well, it was, I figured they'd be about 3 hours behind the bus. But the bus had to stop for lunch and potty breaks. And you have 50 people running in to go to the bathroom. It's not going to take you 5 minutes. Well, they ended up getting to Reynosa, Mexico. They drove all night. They got there about 6 o'clock last night. And Paul was in the Suburban, and they got there about 7. And right away, they put them to work. They were working on decks. So, and now this morning, they're going to attend church, which is a Spanish worship service. So hopefully some of these kids have had Spanish, so they know what's being said. And then they're going to play with the kids. And then Monday through Wednesday, they're going to have work projects and carnivals and playground in the evening, kickball and stuff with the kids. Then they'll take off from the children's home about 6 o'clock on Thursday. And they're going to stop at South Padre Island so the kids can go in the ocean. And then they will go up to near Corpus Christi and spend the night. Friday, they'll go to San Antonio, and they'll go to the Alamo and the Riverwalk. And then they head north. Same thing. Sleep in the bus, and north they come. They'll be home next Saturday sometime in the afternoon. But I haven't heard too much from them because with all the problems and then Paul having to drive, they were taking four-hour shifts, drive four, rest for four. So, but it sounds like they're going to have a great time. So far, the weather has been good. So I'll let you know next week how they did.
J.D. has promised that he would be coming up and after they're back from Mexico to share of their experience. And I would imagine his dad will be coming along for the ride, too. Yeah.
But I did tell him he has to take some pictures, and we'll be able to
yeah.
do a little bit slide.
Great deal. Great deal. Great deal.
Oh, and the other thing is, J.D. did not know any of these kids because, you know, he doesn't go to that school. Well, I think it really worked out wonderful that Paul was in the Suburban. J.D. had to go on the bus. And I did send him a message. I said, how's it going? Have you met some new friends? He said, yeah. So, and in some of the pictures, there's J.D. with a couple guys, arms
yeah.
around each other. So.
I don't think we have to worry about J.D. He's a social bug to the nth degree, and so he will do well. He will do well. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for opportunities you give to us to serve you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for opportunities to go across the border and opportunities to go across the street. We thank you for these opportunities because you have already shown us that we are to be people who serve, to people who offer ourselves to others. And Father, we thank you that you not only call us to serve, but you empower us by your Holy Spirit to be the kind of person who does serve, to be the kind of person who who offers themselves as you have offered yourself to us. Thank you, Lord, for providing this for us and the call that you have on each and every one of us to look to you first and then to our neighbor's good. We ask for your blessing, your continuing blessing upon these folks who have made it down to Mexico. Lord, we pray that this will be a blessing for them as well as for those who they are serving. May they sense the camaraderie of the team that is there, as well as some connections with the community and with the church that they are serving there. May they come to understand that the church and the world is much greater than what they know of being up here in the North Country. And may they sense your presence, O Lord, as they themselves gather today to worship, to be a part of a different kind of a worship experience, a church that celebrates in ways that truly is celebrative. Father, bless them. Bless the preacher this morning. Bless those who come to worship. Might they truly experience you, that as they leave, they may find themselves expressing your love, your grace, your joy to the world in which they live. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather in this place. We thank you for the heritage you have given to us and for your spirit working in us and through us. We thank you, O Lord, that you are the God who goes before us and the God who walks with us and the God who walks behind us. You are one who comes. You are the one who displays Emmanuel, God with us. Father, we pray for those who are not feeling well. Lord, there are some in our faith community who have wrestled with being under the weather for a very long time. You are a God, O Lord, who breaks through. You are the one who has broken into this world through your Son, Jesus. And now we ask that you would break into the cycle of illness in our communities and pray that your healing touch would be sufficient, that you just say the word and these people will be healed. Father, thank you for examples that you have given to us in your word, examples of your grace, examples of your healing, examples of reconciliation, of being brought back into relationship with one another. And as we look at the man named Joseph in the Old Testament, may we see him as a little Jesus who has sought to bring together his family after being away and separated for such a long time. It is in your name that we pray, O Lord. Amen and amen. Let's prepare our lives, our hearts, for the message this morning by turning in our hymn books to 583. Help us accept each other. Help us accept each other. 583.
Accept each other as Christ accepted us. Teach us as sister, brother, each person to embrace. Be present, Lord, among us and bring us to believe. We are ourselves accepted and meant to love and live. Teach us, O Lord, your lesson in on our daily life. We struggle to be human and search for hope and faith. Teach us to care for people, for all, not just the phone. We love them as we find them, or as they may become. Let your acceptance change us.
Turn with me to the very first book of the Old Testament, Genesis, and then turn to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. Joseph has been away from his family early on in his life. His brothers were quite jealous of Joseph and sold him because they saw him as an annoying little brother. And wouldn't you wish that you could sell some people in your family? Yeah, right. And this actually happened. This actually happened. And for over 20 years, the family was separated. Their dad was told that he was killed. And think of the grief that must have been when he heard that his son, the one that he loved, the one that was kind of special in the family, was killed. And 20 years later, a famine comes to that part of the world, and the family in Israel, Jacob's family, heard that there was food down in Egypt. And so they sent a representation from that family down to Egypt to see if they can't get some food to survive a 7-year drought. And they were only 2 years into that drought. Well, lo and behold, the brothers come and they stand before someone that they thought they did not know. It was Joseph. It was Joseph. Let's hear that interaction that comes to us from Genesis chapter 45. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and the Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." And when they had done so, he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. He was the subject of a 1975 Bob Dylan song. There was a movie of his life released in 1999. This high school dropout wrote an autobiography that was read by hundreds of thousands of people. Gunshots pierced the night in Paterson, New Jersey on June 17, 1966. Two men and one woman lay dead. Later, two black men were stopped driving a white Dodge. They were accused, but both passed lie detectors test. There was no time for them to dispose of their weapons and change clothes between the murders and their arrest. Both men were later indicted, tried, and convicted. Both men were sentenced to life terms in prison. A key witness confessed he had been pressured to lie on the witness stand. In 1976, the New Jersey Supreme Court overturned the conviction. In the second trial, the key witness once again lied. The result was another conviction. One was paroled in 1981. 9 more years would pass when in 1985, a federal court stepped in and freed the other person. He had been a rising star in the boxing world, Reuben Hurricane Carter. He was quoted with this statement, "If I wasn't able to get rid of that hate, then my components would have won. They would have been able to take far more than 20 years that they took from me in prison." I do not know if Hurricane Carter was a Christian or not, but his story and attitude can certainly teach something about holding a grudge. He could have allowed anger and bitterness to destroy him. Many have done that, but Hurricane saw past his circumstances. Anger and bitterness can never accomplish anything positive. Let's take a look at another story. Joe was Daddy's boy. He always got the best clothes and wasn't required to work as hard as his brothers. And one day when the brothers were out in the pasture, Dad sent Joe out to check on them. Jealousy raged in the hearts of the brothers. They schemed to kill Joe, and one of the brothers contrived a plan to sell Joe to a roaming band of traders. They told Dad that Joe was dead. For years, Joe languished in the foreign land. He was falsely accused of rape and imprisoned. No one would have blamed him from becoming angry or bitter with his lot in life. God had plans, big plans for Joe. Joe worked his way up the ranks of the government of the land. Some 20 years after his brothers exiled him, there they were on his doorstep begging for food because there was a severe famine throughout that area of the world. His brothers were unaware that it was their long-lost brother that held their lives in their hand. Joe had a power to have his brothers put to death, no questions asked. Joe tested his brothers. He had missed over two decades of family life with his dad and his brothers. He desired to renew his acquaintance with his brothers. This story illustrates three things for us today. God has a divine plan. We don't always understand God's plan. And reconciliation is something that ought to be sought. Joseph's brothers were trying to get rid of a problem, namely their irritating brother. He had been a favorite of their dad's, and he flaunted it. They saw an opportunity to get rid of him and their jealousy at the same time. God, however, was using this extreme case of sibling rivalry as a chance to save his people and preserve his covenant with them. God had promised Joseph's great-grandfather, Abraham, that the land of Canaan would be his and his descendants. At first glance, this seemed an odd way to preserve God's people. Attempted murder, selling someone into slavery, lying to cover it all up. And on top of that, his boss's wife falsely accused Joseph, and he winds up in prison. Are these ways to carry out God's plan? Joseph, through a series of events, managed to work his way up the ranks of the Egyptian government. Pharaoh had two dreams related to the coming famine, and he charged Joseph with preparing the land for the famine. But wait, the Egyptians aren't God's covenant people, are they? Egypt had the resources and the organization to prepare for the famine. But the land of Canaan had no such organization or resources. Joseph's family heard about the food supply in Egypt. Jacob sent 10 of his remaining 11 sons to Egypt, where they encountered their long-forgotten brother. Only they did not realize it was Joseph. Joseph tests his brothers to see if they have changed in their attitude. When he discovers that they are not jealous characters he remembered, he is overcome by emotion and breaks down and reveals himself to his brothers. Joseph's brothers are afraid of him, and with good reason. Joseph could have severely punished them. He counsels them, "Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." Joseph came to understand God's plan through the years. Had he not been in the position in Egypt, his family would have been lost. He invited his whole family to live in Egypt because otherwise you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. Looking back, it's easy to see God's plan here, but it's not always easy to see it when we are in the midst of difficult circumstances. And sometimes as we walk through these difficult circumstances, we don't always understand God's plan. The evil that Joseph's brothers perpetrated against him could not stand in the way of God's plan to preserve his people and the covenant with them. The brothers did not set out to thwart God's plan. They were merely trying to get rid of an annoying little brother. But the evil that they did preserved God's plan. Joseph acknowledges this when he says, "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God." Despite their best efforts to get rid of their brother, it was their brother who saved their lives. Isn't that ironic? The one that they had tried to get rid of saved their lives. Peter denied Jesus, but Jesus ultimately saved Peter. Peter's disobedience couldn't thwart God's plan of salvation. Joseph's brother's evil couldn't thwart God's plan of salvation. They didn't understand what they were doing in the larger picture. God pushed ahead despite our best efforts to the contrary. God's plan will be activated no matter what. God had made a covenant with Abraham, and the actions of a few renegade brothers, blinded by the rage of sibling rivalry, would not stop God's plan. God sees the whole picture. Where we only manage to see a small fraction of it. No doubt when Joseph was bouncing down the road in a wagon that traveling caravan, he couldn't see God's plan at that time. It was only years after in Egypt that he understood that the light came on of what God was doing with him and will do and would be doing through him. He knew at that point, after 20 years, God's plan was going to be fulfilled. Whenever plans get messed up, or we don't understand where God is leading, people sometimes get angry and feelings get hurt. These are unfortunate side effects, but we have to deal with them, do we not? Reconciliation is something that should be sought. Joseph would have been well within his rights to put his brothers to death. He had the power to do that. But he did not allow the wrongs of the past to fester in his heart. No doubt Joseph was angry when he was first sold, but he did not hold on to it. Joseph was willing to reconcile with his brothers, but he first tested them to see if they had a change of heart. Joseph was not just going to let them waltz back into his life without knowing whether or not they had changed. The brothers had run roughshod over Joseph's life and needed to show loyalty to him and to God. Joseph was not the only one who had changed after 20 years. The brothers had come to realize their mistake. They knew that they had wronged their brother, and when Joseph first revealed himself to them, they were speechless. Verse 3 says, "But his brothers were not able to answer him because they became terrified in his presence." They fully expected to be punished for their crime. And one part of reconciliation is understanding the consequences of divisive actions. If Joseph had held a grudge, there would have been no chance of reconciliation. With a grudge, he would likely have repaid his brothers for their action. Instead, he chose not to hold on to his anger. He didn't know he would ever see them again, but in his heart, he dealt with that emotion. And after their initial reaction of fear, he asked them to come close. and proceeded to lay out his plan for saving the family. A number of years ago, a young Korean, after graduating from Seoul National University, came to the United States to study at the University of Pennsylvania. On his way to mail a letter one evening, he was stopped by a gang of 11 delinquent teenagers looking for some money. They wanted 65 cents each to get into a dance. The Korean boy had no money, so the teenagers beat him to death. The murder shocked Philadelphia. Most citizens felt that the severest punishment would be too good for these culprits. But on the other side of the world, the parents of the Korean lad viewed the tragedy differently. Their letter to Philadelphia authorities stirred hearts everywhere. In it, they said they were establishing a fund to be used for the religious, educational, vocational, and social guidance of the teenagers who killed their son. The letter also said, "Our family has met together, and we have decided to petition that the most generous treatment possible within the laws of your government be given to those who have committed this criminal action." Who would have blamed the parents for calling for the maximum sentence? Their interest was in the welfare of teenagers who had made a terrible decision. We cannot hang on to our anger. We cannot hang on to hurt feelings. God has a plan. God has a plan for each and every one of us, and we don't always understand that plan. God wants us to seek him and his reconciliation. How do we work our way through these things? It is a matter of ultimate faith in God. We need to be so completely sold out to God that there is no doubt he can control of our lives, that he has control of our lives. If you have something that is gnawing on your insides, let it go. Seek reconciliation with the person. Most problems are a result of some miscommunication, even if it was malicious, as is the case of Joseph. God desires us to seek reconciliation. We may try to seek reconciliation, but the other party wants no part of it. Well, we have tried. But we can't let their refusal to reconcile become another issue for us. Our arms should always be open, never crossed. Let God's love invade your life to the point where that is the basis of all your decisions, of all the emotions that you carry, the good and the not good. That God may use an unfortunate turn of events in your life for his purpose and for others when it comes to the gift of salvation. Let us pray. Lord God, you demonstrated your love toward us when we were estranged, when we were yet sinners. You sent your Son into the world and provided for us a way to be reconciled with you, with one another, and with ourselves. We thank you for this gift, and in understanding what we possess in Christ, may we too become reconcilers, reconciling people, and with ourselves, and ultimately with you, O God. We know that you have taken the first steps. You have shown examples in your word of what of how this reconciliation is to be played out. May we find ourselves, O Lord, reconciled, that we might know you all the more, that we might enjoy life that you have given to us, and even to the point of preserving our life. This is your will, O Lord. And thanks be to you. It is in your name that we pray. Amen and amen. Whenever God comes into our life, and whenever God and we respond to him in love and in faith and in obedience, it is an opportunity of a fresh start. There's a wonderful song in our hymn book, number 746, "This is a Day of New Beginnings." We will sing the first four verses only. 746. Let us stand.
A day of new beginning, time to remember, mourn, move on. Time to believe what love is to drinking, failing to rest the pain that's gone. For by the love and death of Jesus, God's mighty Spirit now in them can make for us a world of daily, as faith and hope are born again. Then let us with a spirit stirring step from the past and leave behind our disappointments, guilt, and the grieving, seeking new path and sure to find. Christ is alive and goes before us to show and share what love can do. This is the day of new beginnings, our vow and making all things new.
Remember, following this service, we'll have a special congregational meeting, and I believe we'll be right up here in our seats, so it'll come very shortly. Let's hear God's word this morning. Be reconciled. Be reconciled. Be reconciled first to God, and then to each other, and then to ourselves. Be reconciled that God's joy might be within us, and so give him glory, both now and forevermore. Let's turn to each other and offer God's blessings.